Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman. We've been looking at 1 Samuel chapter 4 together, and to understand this chapter, we've highlighted a principle from Proverbs 13, which states, if you have a disregard for God's word, it will bring pain. But if you love, honor, and respect the commands of the Lord, it brings reward. And what we've seen in the first five verses of 1 Samuel chapter 4 is that Israel and its spiritual leaders had a complete disregard for God's word. Therefore, they lost the battle against the Philistines, and there is a complete lack of understanding of their sinfulness and repentance towards God. And anytime we have a disregard for God's word, it will lead to destruction. And what we see continuing in verse 5 is that this led to error in their thinking. They were so far from God, they weren't even thinking right about the presence of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. They are so pumped because they think now that the Ark is in our presence, we're going to have the victory. They had no idea that it was because of their sinful hearts that they were losing. And in verse 6, it continues. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what does this sound of a great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, so the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, for who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck the Egyptians with the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews, as they had been to you. Conduct yourselves like men and fight. So what we see here is the error in Israel's thinking is they had this idea that God lived in this box. That God is here, now we have the power, and we can do whatever we want, and we'll be successful. But the problem is wrong thinking leads to wrong living. And Israel was wrong in their thinking. Now, Israel as a nation was meant to teach others truth about God. But instead, what we see in this text is they were teaching other nations error about their God. The Philistines' response in verse 7 is all of a sudden, God's here. We know the truth of God's word. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He doesn't just dwell in that box. That's where he said he would meet with his people. But we'll see throughout the rest of the book of Samuel when the ark isn't with them that God is still with them. So instead of communicating to people like the Philistines that there is one God and he is all over the earth, and this one true and living God is to be respected and worshiped and obeyed, they conveyed false truths about him, like he only existed in this box and whoever has this box has control. You know, this made me think. Do we ever communicate wrong things about God to the world around us? Maybe by how we live or the words that we speak? Have you ever considered what you are teaching those around you about your God? Think about this. Is God in control over all things? We would probably say amen to that, right? Yes, God is sovereign. God is in control. Then the question is, why do we as Christians live with worry and fear like he isn't? What is that communicating to those around us about our God? If believers are living in worry and fear, that's revealing to unbelievers that maybe our God isn't in control, that the one we're trusting in doesn't have it all in the palm of his hand. I mean, we've done a tremendous job of teaching generations that the church is a building that we gather in, that there's something special about our physical building of a church, that this space is sacred. There should be no food, no fun, no fellowship. This is where we worship God. But what is the church? The better question is, who is the church? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in your midst? We are God's temple, his dwelling place. So the truth here is we must be careful what we communicate to others around us and how we live and how we speak. By the time we come to verse 10, we see that the Philistines have gotten themselves together for a rematch against Israel. Israel thinks that now they have the Ark, they're going to win. The Philistines get themselves ready up for a rematch here. And what we see in verse 10, so the Philistines fought and Israel was defeated. But I thought they would win now that they have the Ark. Wrong. Verse 10 continues, and every man fled to his own tent, and there was a great slaughter. And there fell of Israel 30,000 foot soldiers. And also the Ark of God was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. The writer of this book wants us to feel the weight of what just happened. The weight of pain, destruction, and death. That from Israel's point of view, this is as dark as it gets. 30,000 are dead. Their spiritual leaders are dead. And the ark is gone. All because they had a disregard for God's word. Verse 12, then a man of Benjamin ran from the battle line the same day and came to Shiloh with his clothes torn and dirt on his head. And now when he came, there was Eli sitting on the seat by the wayside watching, for his heart trembled for the ark of God. Now the idea here in verse 12 of this one who comes back to the city to give a report of the battle is a picture of mourning. Notice his clothes were torn. There was dirt on his head. That is a picture of mourning. And the idea of sorrow is that we don't have God anymore. I mean, think about this. To the Jew, the symbol of the ark represented their law, the protection, their provision. It symbolized who they were. It was their identity as a nation. Unfortunately, it was found in a thing instead of God. And the ark became a thing of worship, and it caused them to drift from God. And what we see here is when the ark was taken, all of a sudden in their heart and mind, it was wrong thinking, but this is what they were feeling. God is gone. We no longer have the presence of God anymore. This is the worst case scenario. Notice Eli's heart trembled for the ark of God, and when the man came to the city and told him, all the city cried out. This is a desperate, dark, horrible thing. And when Eli heard the noise of the outcry, he said, what does the sound of this tumult mean? And the man came quickly and told Eli. Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were so dim that he could not see. Now, I believe the imagery here in the dimness of Eli's eyes also represents the spiritual blindness of God's people at this time. They were so blind to their sin that they ignored the message of God. They had this wrong view of God, that he only dwelt in the ark. And now that we don't have the ark, we are doomed. God is gone. In verse 16, then the man said to Eli, I am he who came from the battle, and I fled today from the battle line. And he said, what happened, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there has been a great slaughter among the people, and your two sons are dead, and the ark of God has been captured. You know, verse 16 and 17 is a fulfillment of what we read in chapter 2, when God told Eli that because of their sin, his sons would die on the same day. It says this in verse 34 of chapter 2. Now this shall be a sign to you, that will come upon your two sons, on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them. And what I take away from this is that what God says, he means. That whatever God says will come to pass. So if he tells us in his word that if you disregard his words, live however you want, ignore his instructions, it will bring pain, there is truth to that. That will happen. Notice Eli's response in verse 18. Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God. Notice it wasn't about his sons dying. It wasn't about the 30,000 deaths. But what worried and moved him the most was that the ark was gone. Eli fell off his seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken, and he died. For the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel for 40 years. Now, I want you to realize how horrible this is. Eli dies because he's heavy. He's heavy because of his sin. He had been eating the sacrifices in the temple that were designed to be given to God. So he dies because he's heavy. He's heavy because of his sin. And now he's judged by God. An interesting side note is it tells us that he fell down backwards at the gate. The gate was the place of judgment. And this is where Eli's judgment comes down. Now, the major idea is whenever the prophet of God is refused in his word, there will be pain. And there will be chastening brought in to correct you. It's the same principle that we see in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So what do we begin to take away from 1 Samuel chapter 4? Is this principle. Israel has ignored God's messenger, has ignored God's message, and now they will reap the judgment. Thousands are slaughtered. Their priests are dead. The ark is gone. And in verses 19 through 21, we see that there's more destruction that happens to Eli's family. Now the daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child due to be delivered. She heard the news that the ark was gone and captured, and she began to give birth. Her labor pains come upon her, and about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said, "Do not fear, you have borne a son." But she did not answer. She did not regard. And that's important because all Jewish women ever wanted was to have a son. The son is the glory of the family because the name continues. This is the greatest gift that somebody could ever be given, and yet she has complete disregard for it because in her mind, this child's going to grow up in a world without God. Now, she's wrong in her thinking because God is everywhere at all times. But in her view, God is now gone. He's in enemy hands. And there is nothing worse than that. And we're meant to feel the weight of Israel's thinking behind this, that the glory of God has departed. And it brings us back to our principle. He who despises the word will be destroyed, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. So my question to you is this. Will you learn to obey God through precepts, through instruction on the front end? Or will you choose to learn to obey God through pain on the back end? There is pain when we disregard God's word, but there is great reward when we love, honor, and obey the commands of God. Think about these truths today, what the Lord has for them in your heart. And if you need to repent, make things right, let's do that. His mercies are new to you today. He's always faithful. Thanks for joining us on the Word for Life. Have a blessed day.